Morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. Thankful for you choosing to be here today. I would ask you to be opening to Psalm 1. And we will pick up where we left off last week, and we might make it through two whole verses today. But we think about and look at the happiness that we have and the happiness of being with one another, being around one another. Some things that we do get to celebrate this week is we have some birthdays that we get to celebrate. My wife has a birthday on Wednesday. She's still not as old as me. It's okay. I'm married up and I know it. We have some other birthdays. Ashley Bergman celebrates a birthday on Thursday. Tim Humbert on Friday. And Randy Dotson celebrates a birthday on Saturday. So make sure that you wish all of them a happy birthday for this week. If you'll recall from last week, we began a series looking at Blessed is the Man. And there are three things we looked at in verse number 1 here of Psalm 1 to say that this man is blessed. And three reasons why that he is blessed is because of things that he doesn't do. He doesn't walk in a path of sin, of the ungodly or counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, those that are God mockers. These are things that he does not do. Now, if you'll recall, we asked ourselves some questions, looked at some things like, number one, do I believe God? Yeah, I believe God. Do I believe his word? Yeah, I believe his word. Well, then, why would I walk anywhere else other than in his counsel? And we looked at a few illustrations, a few images to help us to see that. You have a couple of piles of stuff sitting in front of you, and God is standing there and able to tell you, in this pile right here, you're going to find happiness. Well, why would I look in that pile? If I can't find it in the other pile, why would I even bother to look there? If I'm standing at diverging paths and God again is standing there telling me, if you go down this path, that's the path that you're going to find to happiness, why in the world would I stand and even consider going down that other path? And if God is my counselor, one that I can speak to and know and understand what he would have me to do, and he tells me these are the things that you need to do in order to be happy, why in the world would I get together with somebody from the world? Why would I take counsel from anybody other than God to say that's where I should look to be able to find true happiness? Because true happiness, again, we can think about happiness. Happiness comes with, maybe perhaps in this life, for everyone, with new toys and gifts and birthday parties. And if you want those things, then throw yourself a birthday party, right? We're going to have those things. But true happiness, something that comes only from God, does not come in those places. I can't seek counsel from ungodly people and expect to find godliness. I can't take counsel from people telling me that this is what the world says I'll find happiness in and then expect to find eternal happiness. It's not possible. It will not happen. So if I believe God and believe his word, that's where I'm going to stick. That's where I'm going to stand. I'm not going to do those three things that we looked at. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to stand in the path of sinners. And I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. You notice the digression that happens there. I was walking. Things were good. I heard something that was appealing to me. So I stopped and I listened. And then next thing you know, I'm sitting with these people. I'm surrounded by those who would mock God. That's not where I'm going to live my life if I want to be blessed. If I want eternal happiness, that's not what's going to happen in my life. What's going to happen instead? Verse 2, notice it starts with the word but. So in contrast to those three things, he is that one who is blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know, I think about this for just a moment. In contrast to verse 1, we have what makes a man delighted, what his desire is, what he finds pleasure in. You know, I'm afraid that over the years, and I've, as you guys well know, I've grown up in the church, listened to preachers and Bible class teachers my whole life. Read your Bible. listened to my Bible class teacher since I was this tall. Read your Bible and pray every day and grow, grow, grow. And I neglect my Bible and forget to pray and I shrink, shrink, shrink. Right? You guys know that song? You listen to that song? Your Bible class teacher teach you that song? Singing at times of VBS too, right? What have we done with Read Your Bible? You've made it a chore. You've made it a chore. I'm afraid that I have done that myself to some people as well. Make it a chore. Brethren, reading our Bible should not be a chore. It's where we get to talk with God. It's where we get to know Him even more. We get to understand His will for us. Do you understand that my desire, my pleasure, that what I find no greater pleasure or value in is anything other than reading my Bible and getting to know God and to know Him even better. You see, to the one who is blessed, do you understand that they're not just words on a page? What he finds is what he is going to be able to watch and see to grow with God, to enhance his relationship with God, to grow it even deeper. And that's where he finds it. It's getting to know God, and his word cannot be separated from him. Do you understand? If I want to know God, I can't find anything about God in worldly things. I'm not going to get to know God. We can't separate God and his word and expect to know him and have that type of relationship with him. If I want to know God, I need to be in his word. I need to read it. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses that are very familiar to us. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what Paul writes to Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what that means? All scripture is breathed by God. He breathed every ounce of it. Every bit of it. None of it came from man. We can go to 2 Peter chapter 1, 18 and following and see, as we did last week, that no prophecy of scripture came by interpretation of man. Scripture came from God. The Holy Spirit moved those men of God. And they wrote and spoke as God gave them utterance. In other words, God breathed it. Notice here in verse number 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 how he continues on. He says, and is profitable. Meaning, I'm not going to find profit anywhere else. This is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Why is that so important? Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's where I find completeness. You know why I delight in it? Because I can't find that type of completeness anywhere else. I'm not going to be finding any godly doctrine in man-made things. I'm not going to see where I can be corrected to be a godly person anywhere outside of the Word of God. So my delight is in His Word because what I find pleasure in is pleasing Him. I want to do what He would have me to do. If I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of sinners, or sit with the scornful, the God mockers, then I have to be in contrast to them. Here's that contrast, God's Word. It's where I get to know Him. I get to delight in it, take pleasure in it, do as God would have me to do. Look with me at Psalm 42, and we get this picture. And a song that we sing oftentimes, I know it's a song that there are a few who love to lead this and sing this at Bible camp, and we sing it multiple times throughout the week. We sing it here from time to time as well. But here in Psalm 42, notice, beginning right there in verse number 1. As the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for you, O God. You understand? Does that deer want water to live? Yep. Does it seek it out? Absolutely it does. What about us for God? Do we thirst in the same way? Do we desire Him in the same way? Just as this deer pants for the water brooks or finding water, do we do the same thing and search for God? Do we desire Him? My soul longs for you. Not something like you, but you. We go after God. This is the one who is blessed, is happy. who has that pleasure, takes delight in God, knowing the things of God. Would we delight in Him if we thought about Him as that counselor we talked about? I want you to think about you for just a minute. The things that you do, and I've talked about me a lot, and I think about this. When I was at Lowe's, there were things that I wanted to do to get better. I wanted to get better at my job. I wanted to get better at working with people. I wanted to get better at merchandising. I wanted to get better at all of these different aspects of my life. And so you know what I did? I read up on those things. I watched videos on those things. I sought those people out to be able to listen to them. You know, I often think at times, if I could have met some of those people who wrote those books, that I would have just stood in awe, right? Being able to finally get to meet them. Is their counsel going to do anything for me to get to heaven? Do you realize that one day, if we remain faithful, we're going to get to stand before God, that we're going to get to see Him? The one that we have sought counsel from and taken counsel from, the one that we've lived for and taken delight in, do you know we're going to stand before Him? How incredible that's going to be. How amazing it's going to be to get to see Him. You see, I think sometimes we seek after, and I'm not telling you that there's things wrong with this at times. You guys know that I love the Jayhawks. And I think a person that I would love to get to meet someday to pick their brain would be Bill Self. I think his coaching style, and I think the things that he's able to do on the fly are incredible. And there are few that are like him. And I would love to get to sit down and talk with him. But you know, that doesn't hold a candle to getting to talk to God. And I can do that every day. Every day. I can speak to him. I can get to know him even better every day. And he speaks back to me through his word. That's why I take delight. That's why I should take delight in it. Look with me at Proverbs 2 and think about these words that the Proverbs writer writes. And think about you in regard to this. If I'm seeking worldly counseling in everything that I'm doing and it causes me to neglect getting to know God, well, I better rethink some things. I better think twice about who I'm seeking counsel from and why. And if my life has become more consumed with the things of this life and the pleasures of this life, I need to rethink some things and get back into it. Get back into doing what God would have me to do. Verse number 6 here of Proverbs 2. The Proverbs writer says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." You see that? From His mouth, not man's mouth. Nothing that man could do is going to give me that type of knowledge or understanding. Wisdom comes from the mouth of the Lord, knowledge and understanding as well. That's where I ought to be going. That's who I seek out. That's why I'm blessed. That's why I'm happy. I can put a smile on my face. And again, it's regardless of the circumstances of life. Doesn't make any difference what's happening and what's going on. As Josh said this morning, we had some real jovial things to be able to announce, right? Oh, today was tough. This is tough. But you know what we get to do? We get to pray. We get to talk to God. We get to petition Him before His throne. We get to come and petition those of like precious faith on their behalf. We get to talk to Him. How incredible is that? I think at times we go through these announcements and all we do is we just rattle these things off. And I'm not telling you, I'm going to speak for me. There are times that, man, it just seems like same old at times. But when we stop and really truly think, those that have been announced, I get to take their name before Almighty God. Maybe I pay closer attention. Maybe I listen a little bit better. Because, you know, when I delight in knowing Him and being able to now talk to Him, we should bring a smile to our brethren's face, even through tough times and difficult times, knowing that their brethren are petitioning God on their behalf. You see, that's why it doesn't matter circumstance, because we're happy and blessed because we are a child of God and we follow in His counsel. In fact, as we follow in that counsel and we gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding because of His Word, notice what happens and what takes place. Go back to Psalm 1. I'll tell you, keep your finger there again because we're going to be going back and forth a little bit. But I want you to pay attention here. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Notice here, and in His law He meditates day and night. Think about a cow for just a second. A lot of you have cows. I have one cow. Well, she has a calf. But I notice that she lays down and her mouth just keeps going. Just keeps going. It's because everything that she is eating and chewed on has come back up, right? I'm chewing their cud. You understand what meditation is. It's that I've taken in, I've studied God's Word, I take that in, and then it comes back up. And I continue to think on it. And I continue to go back through it. And I continue to have deeper knowledge and understanding of God's Word. I don't just read it once and then move on to something else. No, I take delight in it. And so therefore, what I'm reading, I'm truly getting into and I'm studying. And throughout the day, throughout the evening, throughout the night, my mind is going back and I am thinking back through, meditating on those things that God would have me to do, the things that I have studied, the things that I have learned. And you know what that causes me to do? It causes me to get deeper into His Word, because then it causes me to be thinking, what would God have me to do? What about that situation or this other situation or this other thing or that other thing? And I get into His Word more and more and more. And what takes place? Well, I can't stop thinking on it. I can't stop going through it. And what does that then do for me? Go to Philippians chapter 4. Again, hold your finger here at Psalm 1 or put your marker there, fold down the page, whatever. We'll be coming back. But go to Philippians chapter 4. Let me show you what this looks like. If I'm going to be meditating in God's Word and I'm going to be thinking on Him and I'm going to be thinking about what God would have me to do, notice what happens. Verse number 7 begins and says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are of good or pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Do you see that word, meditate? On these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. You see what I'm meditating on now? All those things. If I am concentrating on God's Word, if I'm studying it, if I'm bringing it back up and meditating on it, what things am I thinking about? What are the things that consume my mind and thus my life? Well, if I'm thinking on His Word and what He would have me to do, and that meditation, bringing those things back up, continuing to dwell on those and think on those things, I'm not going to have time for things that are ungodly. I'm going to think on those things that are lovely and pure. Those things that are good for me to be thinking on. Those things that would then, not only do that affect my life, but if I'm thinking on all that, how's that then spread to the people around me? Well, I'm going to do the things that are right and just and good in the eyes of God. So am I not taking care of the people around me even better? Am I not serving God even better? Am I not helping those around me and looking for those opportunities, those ways to serve those who are around me? Go to Psalm 8, and I want you to think about this, for what God does for you and I. And there are other verses that we could go to that would talk about these same things, but I want you to think and notice here just how highly God thinks of us, because there are things in our life that come upon us that cause us at times to perhaps just think about us. And we think, is it really worth it? Maybe we begin to think of all the negative, and we begin to dwell on those negative things, and we begin to dwell on, would anybody notice if I'm here or not? Does it even matter? Do I even matter? And we allow ourselves to go down some pretty dark holes at times. Notice here in Psalm 8, and this is what God thinks. Beginning in verse number 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Notice here in verse 5, you have crowned him with glory and honor. That is what God thinks of you and me. He has crowned us with glory and honor. You know how incredible that is? God says, you matter to me. You know how I find that out? Because I spend time in His Word. And we have that fellowship, koinonia. We have this greatest relationship that we can possibly have. And the one I get to have it with is God. I get to have that type of relationship with Him. And these are the type of things that I find out He wants for me. The absolute best at all times. He crowned me with glory and honor. And I look around and I see the majesty of His creation. Everything that He has done. You know He did that for you and I? He put us in the perfect environment to where we could breathe and live, be able to function. You've crowned Him with glory and honor. Because God says, I love you so much, you're so valuable to me. In places like John 3:16, I gave my son to die for you. I think so much and so highly of you that I've thought about you before I ever formed you in the womb. I've thought so much of you and I value you so highly that even before I spoke anything into existence, you were on my mind. Before the foundation of the world, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, we were on the mind of God. God says, I love you that much. You know how I find that out? Not because the preacher said it, not because some Bible class teacher said it, but because God said it in His Word. So I get to know, man, I get to know Him. I get to know Him even better every single day because that's how highly God thinks of me. But you know what? I'm not going to know that if I don't get into His Word. He breathed every single bit of it so that we could know Him better. So that we could have a relationship that lasts for all eternity with Him. I'm blessed, happy, because I spend time in His Word. Why do we put ourselves down? There's not a reason to. We always called them in my house the poor little me's. You don't need to have the poor little me's. I understand those things happen. I understand there's difficulty and things that happen in our lives that come upon us that, yes, they need paying attention to. And yes, we need to be focused on those things, but they still can't take my ultimate focus away from God. Because in Him, I live, move, and have my being. In Him, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Go read Acts chapter 17 and begin there about verse 22 and following with Paul on Mars Hill in the Areopagus, and he tells them all about the God that they had a statue to, said the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about Him, the one that made the heavens and the earth, everything in it, and you and me. And you know what? He's not far from us. We can grow for Him. We can find Him because He desires to be found. But I'm going to have to study it out. I'm going to have to do that for myself. That's how we find happiness. And what's the results? Verse 3. Psalm 1, he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Like a tree. You know that, you guys ever planted a tree? Planted plants? What do? We clear the ground. We dig a hole. We find the best place first, right? Find the best place. And we clear the ground and we dig a hole and we put that tree down in it, and we don't just drop it in there and say, grow. No, we nurture it, don't we? Put that good soil back in around it. We make sure that maybe even perhaps we put a root stimulator in there so that it stimulates those roots to spread out and to grow out. To find the best places in order for them to get through the ground so that they can bring in the most nourishment. We make sure it has water. We want it to be able to stand. And so a lot of times If it's a young sapling that we have planted, we put a T-post or something next to it that we tie it to, because that's going to make sure that it stays straight, right? That it grows to be as tall as it can, that we give it the best chance. We only have a chance if we're planted in God. But you know, He does the same thing. He takes that much care. He planted. Notice this one. The man who is blessed, happy, is planted by the water, rivers of water, so that they're fed all the time and in every season. Do you know those seasons? See them? We live in a place where we have four seasons, maybe sometimes just two, summer and winter. We don't seem to have a lot of fall and spring at times, do we? I want you to think about this, the seasons of life. The seasons of life that come and go. You know what? Every season is not easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. But you know, we're planted by those waters. We're like that tree, that we're not going to go through droughts where we are unnourished. We may go through droughts in life, but you know, planted by the water, we are continually fed, feeding on God's Word. That peace that passes understanding we read about in Philippians 4 and verse number 7, you know why it comes? Because I'm planted in God's Word and I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. Regardless of the circumstances of life, I'm going to remain with Him. In the wintertime, what happens? Leaves fall off the trees and looks barren and bare. Things at times in our lives look barren and bare and bleak. But you know what? Every day, we're one day closer to spring. Every day, we're one day closer to spending eternity with God and getting to know Him. I think about an empty seat right there. I think about that man often. I want you to think about this. He and I had a conversation. He said, you know, I'm a pretty blessed guy. I said, why is that? He said, I have gotten to know God. I got to become a Christian. I've gotten to show my children who God is. You know what? They've gotten to show their kids, and their kids have gotten to begin to show their kids. I think about that legacy that's left behind. That legacy. I know a lot of preachers, and I love talking to older preachers. The reason I love talking to older preachers is because what they talk about are the different times of life, those different seasons that have come and gone. And you know, in those seasons that come and go, what I have found is those preachers who stood strong when things went well and when things went hard and it was difficult, they didn't reach for man. They continued to receive their counsel from God and to seek it from Him. You see, these different seasons that we go through, like this tree, like the trees and where we live, there are times when things are great and there are times when things are hard. But you know the consistent? God in our lives. Here the consistency is we've been planted. Purposely planted. Because we have that opportunity to be fed by God in His Word. This is where that man is blessed. It's why he doesn't walk, stand, or sit in anything that has to do with ungodliness. Instead, always he is meditating and delighting, taking pleasure in His law, so that what he finds is that regardless of whatever happens, his leaf is not going to wither. He's not going to turn away from God. Whatever happens, his life's going to prosper. Why? Because of the physical things in this life? No, because ultimately it's going to lead to heaven. Where's your life going to lead? Whose counsel are you seeking? Do you meditate on God's Word? Do you take it in? Do you then regurgitate it, chew on it some more, and continue to chew on it so that you think on it more and more and more? And what you find is those things that are just and lovely and pure, those things that are true, those are the things that people get to see. Those are the things that people get to know about you. And that peace of God that passes understanding, it's what guards your heart and your mind in Christ. Because that's who we live to please every single day. that life because of His example that we also want to show and demonstrate in our life. I wouldn't know how to do it if I didn't pick up God's Word. But what He wants for me is crowned you with glory and honor. It's to spend eternity with Him. He wants us to have that type of relationship, to be blessed. Blessed is the man. That's who he is. It's how he lives his life. If this had an actual name in front of it, blessed is, you fit your name right there into that blank. Would it be true or would it be a lie? If you were the one who had your name, are you the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditating in His Word day and night? Are you the one who has made sure you're planted next to that water, that river that constantly and continually feeds you? Or have you tried to find something better on your own, some other way? If you've tried to find that other way, let me tell you something. I'm going to spoil an alert. It's not going to get you to heaven. Only way we can do it is through God's Word, living for Him every day, delighting in His Word, taking it in. Life still happens. Location matters. I want you to turn to Matthew 7. We'll close this morning. The lesson will be yours. We teach our kids this song, and we expect them to get it because we have taught them the song. It's an unrealistic expectation. I expect my children to get it because of what they see in one who follows after God. I expect them to get it and understand it because they spend time getting to know God every single day so that they understand His ways and what He would have them to do regardless of the circumstances of life. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, notice what Jesus says. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Does location matter? Yeah, location matters. He built his house on the rock. What happened? The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded where? On the rock. Does location matter? It sure does. Guess what? Did it say that his life was perfect and pure and easy and he was on easy street just because of where he built it? No. Rains came, winds blew, it beat on that house. Life happens. But guess what? Because of location, I'm okay. Notice what happens in contrast. The foolish man. Where did he build his house? He built it on the sand. What happened? It's the guy who listened to the words of Jesus and he didn't put them into practice. He's like that foolish man who built his house on the sand. And guess what? Rains came, winds blew. Everything happens to that same person that happened to the one who built it on the rock. Why does location matter? Because what happened to the one on the sand? His house went splat. His house fell. And great was its fall. Do you see that? Great was its fall because no greater could have been its fall. No greater. Where you build your house? Where you live? Who do you live your life for? Where do you take your delight? Where do you find your counsel? Who's the one that you go to and turn to? Because if it's not God, you need to change that now. And we can help you in any way we can. Maybe you need to become a child of God, dedicate and devote your life to Him, become a child of His, and have all those spiritual blessings only found in Christ Jesus. Or maybe this morning you realize your counsel has been with the wicked and the ungodly, and there are things you need to change in your life, and if we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.